The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
All right, the NBA season is in full swing, coming down the stretch. Then we move right into the playoffs in April, May, and June. I can't wait. Spice things up with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA right now. All you have to do is put down $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Pretty good trade-off. I pay $5, I get $150. North Carolina listeners, do not forget. Welcome to the party. DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state, North Carolina. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Takes 90 seconds. The code is Colin, C-O-L-I-N. Again, 90 seconds. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in Colin. New customers bet $5, get $150 back in bonus bets instantly. That is the trade. All right? The code is always Colin. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. This is a kind of shitty podcast to do. As our season came to an end a couple days ago, I know there's a bunch of questions about the future of the Warriors and the trio that is Steph, Clay, and myself, and the 12 years we've been together, and if that was the last time we've seen that, all of those questions. There's also some other stuff around the play-in that's going on that we're going to get into that I think is interesting, but also, you know, as these series are starting to shake out, we'll also talk a couple of these series that we now know are happening. And also, for those of y'all out there, make sure you go vote for the Webby Award. Today is the last day, so go check that out on the Twitter, on our page Twitter, the Volume's Twitter, Webby website. Vote for the show. We need that. Appreciate you. But let's get into the game. We got popped by the Kings, 118-94 on Tuesday, which ended our season. I told y'all I hate that play-in. They were way more physical than us. They shot the ball way better than us. They dominated the game. But, like, it comes down to one game, NCAA tournament style, and that's just it. Like, you don't get it back. Like, you don't get another chance. And so I hate the play-in still. It's still absolutely incredible. It's great. It's like the worst great thing of all times. But it's been exciting. And, you know, it didn't go well for us. My thoughts on the game before we move forward. Steph, 22 on 8 for 16 shooting. What that says to me is, like, their defense was really good. Like, they defended us really well. Because Steph, 22 on 8 for 16 shooting, I mean, we just didn't find him enough shot opportunities. At 50%, 22 points. That's a very light night for Steph, but that's an efficient night, you know? And I think he was maybe 3 for 7 from three or something like that. And so, got to get our defense credit. Mike Brown, we know, is a defensive genius. You know, Mike got all my respect, especially when it comes to that side of the ball. And he had them guys ready to go. Their defensive game plan was great. You know, they did a good job on everybody. Clay was 0 for 10 from the field, 0 for 6 from 3. By the way, some shots that we know Clay is more than capable of making and normally does make, just couldn't get one to go that night. And again, it's one of those nights, right? Like, I think Clay only didn't score a bucket in his NBA career one other time that he played in the game, and that was because he got ejected 2-3 minutes into the game. And I also got ejected that game. But that, you know, that's the only other time Clay didn't score in the game. So in saying that, that's the in-season tournament, right? Like, you end up in that situation, and one night, and the shots just don't fall, and it's over, you know. But like I said, their defensive game plan was great. Wiggs, 4 for 11 from the field. JK, 6 for 15 from the field. And they were 18 for 39 from the three. You know, like, we had a rough shooting night. And like I said, you got to give them some credit. They were flying around. I remember one play that stood out to me in particular. I caught the ball kind of at the elbow, and Trace was diving, and I kind of tried to lead him a bit to the lob. And Sabonis had just trapped the ball screen up top with Steph and sprinted all the way back to the rim and broke up the lob, you know. And, like, they were flying around all night. And, you know, they just got the better of us that night. So that's what you have, you know, when you're in this play-in situation. Our season overall as a whole, ironically, 46 and 36, two more wins than we had last year when we were the 6th seed, end up the 10th seed, different West. And, you know, like I said before, we blew some games that we should have easily won. I can count maybe 6-7 games on my hand. My two hands, right off the top of my head, that, like, we gave 2 OKC games away, fouling at the end of the game on threes, both of them. Gave them away, or we gave up the 3 to Chet, and then I fouled on the 3. That's 2 games we absolutely gave away. We gave away a game to the Clippers, gave away a game to Chicago. Like, the list goes on and on. Joker hits an almost half-court shot against Denver in a game we were up 17. That's 5. And I can continue on. Point is, when you have those games, you have to close those games. The great teams close those games. And that's what separates good and great teams. And so when you look at those things, you ultimately get what you deserve in the end, you know, through everything that went on this season. When you look at those things, it's unfortunate, but that's where we have to tighten up. We know what it takes to win a championship. We know what the things that go into it. It's a process. It's an 8-month process. It's not a 2-month process. And you have to be in that process the entire time. You skip steps in that process, you don't win. And we didn't do a great job of that this year. So that's now back-to-back seasons getting eliminated in tough closeout games, but far earlier than we expect, especially this one, not being in the playoffs. This sucks. But got to go back to the drawing board, retool. Had great exit interviews yesterday, Steve, Mike. Looking forward to talking about what the future of this team looks like. You're not allowed to make the playoffs and then think like, oh, everything's just going to stay the same. Like, that's not a realistic thing, especially for an organization that has experienced the success that we've now brought to this organization. You can't just think like, oh, it's going to stay the same. And they're going to just look at, I don't expect that. When you're in a situation like this, all things are on the table. Like, you'd be crazy to go into it thinking like, oh, it's not, or I'm good, or like, nah, you're not, like, until you are. So I am looking forward to having these conversations, seeing what's next, what the thoughts are. Kind of had a few thoughts yesterday, but you're kind of just on this tight 20-minute schedule where everybody's kind of getting through their exit interview. So looking forward to having those conversations. What does that mean for the big three, the trio, all the names I've seen? I wish I had an answer for you. But what I do know is there's not one person in this organization that does not want Klay Thompson back here. Because I don't think there's one person around here that don't think we can't win again. Now, again, do you have to retool? Do you have to figure some things out? Do you need young guys to take steps? Yes, all of these things has to happen in organizations for them to continue to be successful. So yes, there are some tweaks that need to be made. Me personally, I don't think there's an overhaul that need to be made. I think there are tweaks that needs to be made. And if, you know, if we can successfully make those tweaks, I think we put ourselves right back in the conversation. Klay will ultimately have to make a decision, and he'll go into free agency. He'll see, I'm sure, I know how this business goes. He'll see what's out there. He'll continue to talk to the Warriors. There will be negotiations that needs to be had. One thing I will say that I learned last year, and I had never been through in my career, free agency is not a fun place. Free agency kind of sucks. There are a couple people every now and then where free agency could be fun, but like the reality is free agency is like uncertainty. Like, and if there's anything all of us hate in life is uncertainty. You're always looking for certainty in whatever it is that you do. Free agency is like an uncertain place. You think your market is this. You think your market is that. That person over there thinks your market is this. Ultimately, it boils down to what is someone willing to offer you? I can think my market is whatever I wanted to think it is. But until I get to the free agency table and the offers start rolling in, you don't know what your market is. So I myself absolutely hated free agency. It sucks because you sit there and you go on about your life not knowing really what's next. And that's no fun place to be. And you're at the mercy of someone else seeing a value of something and putting a dollar amount on it. And then you figuring out what you think that dollar amount is and trying to somehow make it work. And in the process, feelings get hurt, relationships are broken. It's just the nature of it. It's really the shitty part of the business. So Klay will go into free agency and he will look around the market, I'm sure, because that's how you do these things in any negotiation. That is with negotiating for toilet paper and that is with negotiating for food, whatever it is. That's just how you go about it. So he'll do that. And I ultimately hope that he's back here, that we all can close this thing out together the way we've done it, continue to chase after the things that we know are out there for us, which is winning championships, continuing to bring more success to a franchise than anyone could ever imagine, besides Joe. Joe definitely imagined, but nobody else imagined. That is the goal. You don't have the opportunity to finish with the guys you started with often. And we have that opportunity. But like I said, ultimately, I know, like, when we started this journey, Clay was 21. Clay is 34. Life looks totally different at 34 than it did at 21. And so I ultimately know he has to make decisions for himself, for his life. And if there's one thing I hate is when guys, like, decide in free agency they're going to go somewhere else, and then guys be mad, like they left them. Like, oh, you left me. I'm upset at you. And, like, we're beefing now for the media. Like, ain't never going to be that. Because I don't understand that. Like, someone make a personal decision for themselves, for their family, for their career, and then people get mad and be like, oh, I'm mad at, like, oh, F him. And, like, that's whack to me. And so I personally want Clay to come back. We all do. But if Clay ultimately decides that he wants something else for himself, for his life, got my utmost love and support, because what we've done together can never be taken away. The brotherhood that we've built will not change at all. But we do want to finish. But I don't understand that corny stuff when guys like, oh, man, I'm like, ah, in media beefing and stuff. We don't do that over here. Travis told me after we lost, he said, yo, you're going to go through, like, some crazy emotions. Like, you're going to go through, like, high, low, like, oh, I'm done. I get to spend time with my family. Like, wait, I'm supposed to be playing basketball at this time. Like, you're going to experience all these. And when he said it, it was right after the game. And I was just like, no, like, I didn't say it back to him, but I was just thinking to myself, like, what are you talking about? Like, all right. And like the emotional roller coaster I've been on the last 2 days is crazy. Like, I'm here, I'm there. I'm like, oh, I'm playing this thing. I get to go to this thing. I shouldn't be going to that thing. Like, what? I've been all over the place. So how I feel about, I don't know how I feel about being done this early. Never been done this early. It's crazy. Like, I can't, I don't know, man. It's the range of emotions right now is crazy. And I'm not enjoying this at all. Playoff basketball is the most fun time of year. It's what I look forward to the most. And to not have that experience already has me thinking personally for myself next year, like, you're coming in way better as a player. You're coming in the best shape of your life. You're doing, like, it's crazy. I don't know what to feel, how to feel about this. Like, when you win and you experience those pinnacles, to then try to come back from that, like, I mean, you like end up doing this after knowing those feelings and what that feel like and how that competition goes. And, like, man, it's the playoffs. That's when everybody watching. It's crazy thing. Crazy. I don't know. I can't figure the emotions of it out. Man, the things that we accomplished together, 4 NBA titles. I could have never imagined winning the NBA title coming into the NBA. It's a crazy story. And, man, love this dude to death, brother of mine. But it's a moment, like, you have moments in your life that you'll never forget. And this was a moment in my life that I'll never forget. I've never been a loser in my life. I've won at every level of basketball. So to think that I'm coming to an organization that, like, lose, is like, to me, I'm like, oh, no, we're going to win. Like, I was that dumb to believe, like, no, we're going to win. Like, won 23 games the year before, but we're going to win. Like, I was that naive. Like, I had never lost in my life. I got drafted to the Golden State Warriors, and Lamar Woodley, who is one of my OGs, big brother of mine from Saginaw, Michigan, Pittsburgh Steeler legend, Super Bowl champion. He always had a camp every year back in Saginaw in the summer. And Marshawn Lynch always came to the camp. Marshawn loves Saginaw. I'm sure it reminds him of Oakland. But like, I got nothing but love for Marshawn, big brother of mine. But I'll never forget this moment. And Lamar was like, we were standing in the parking lot of Stardust Lanes in Saginaw. And Lamar was like, yo, he just got drafted to the Warriors. Like, he gonna be in Oakland. And Marshawn was like, ha, 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 y'all suck. Like, the Warriors don't never win. Like, y'all suck. And I was like, yeah, that's gonna change. Like, that, like, we suck. Like, me sucking? Like, nah, that's changing. Like, I don't ever suck. That's gonna change. And to like I'll never forget that. And that story is less about Marshawn, but just more about what the Warriors were. And so to come out of college and like get drafted to that organization, and to think 12 years later, won 4 titles with the same guys, 6 finals appearances with the same guys, won 73 games with the same guys. Hardly ever lost. We lost 3 playoff series fully healthy in 11 years. That's crazy. Like, to accomplish that, like, the common thought of this organization was what Marshawn said. The laughing stock of the NBA, for sure. For sure, laughing stock of the NBA. And to think that we've done all of this together, changed the way basketball is played together, changed the way championships are viewed these days. You got guys in the NBA talking about winning championships. Like, that was never the thing. Like, I've seen guys like have career nights and like after the career night, like, yeah, but we need to win a championship. Like, bro, that's a career night in the regular season. Like, that was never the conversation. But because of what we've accomplished and made it look like it's supposed to be done that way and made it look so easy, everybody think like, oh, now you're just going to win a championship. And then players get like devalued because they don't win a championship because that's the standard. But the reality is like, we did it on a level as good as anybody that's ever done it. And by the way, to Steph's point, which I love these moments because they never seem to not come true. Right after the game in the Kings locker room, I said, I love you, bro. It's like, I love you too. We ain't done.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You right. Got it. Noted. Cool. We ain't. You right. So, to think that, like, we've done these things, I love it. And we not done. So that's that. That's the end of the dub season. That's a wrap. I am extremely grateful to finish year 12 of my career, year 12 healthy. I got so much gratitude. Like I told you, emotions are all over the place, but I can look at that and be like, man, second round pick from Saginaw, Michigan, Michigan State University, getting drafted to the Golden State Warriors and being labeled a tweener, which was a death sentence when I was coming out in the draft. Second round pick, although I was National Player of the Year. I just finished year 12 in the NBA. I got gray hairs now. I was just looking in the mirror. I got more gray hairs coming in up top. About to be full of salt and pepper. But I'm still in the NBA, and I just finished year 12. So I got such gratitude for that. So that's that. Let's talk about these play-in games, man. We know the Kings now got the Pelicans without a Zion Williamson, who had 40-11 when he got hurt versus the Lakers, having one of the best games of his young career. And in the game that mattered. And I know everybody remember the chatter around him when they played in the play-in. You had, he's too fat, out of shape, waste of talent. Like, you know, he got destroyed in that play-in versus the Lakers, like embarrassed. And since then, it's been a different Zion. And he showed that night. And he had his team right there in it. One or two possession game, and he had to lead the game, and it's unfortunate. And because you can see the growth. And now you got the Kings that go take on the New Orleans Pelicans. Without Zion, I think the Kings should win that pretty easily. No game at that magnitude is ever easy. Like, the Kings beat us pretty easily. I'm sure they didn't feel like it was that easy, like it's max effort. And so take what I said with a grain of salt, but I think the Kings go in. They have the experience. You know, they came on the road here last year during the playoffs and won a game. Like, they have the experience. I think they go and win that game. Their defense is flying around the way they were flying around against us. No Zion. That's Zion's 24 points or whatever he averaged on the floor, but that's like 50 to 55 points with his impact and people shrinking and them getting threes and pressure he puts on the rim and the defense collapse. You get a swing. Like, that's a huge loss. Huge loss. And they're not going to be able to overcome that, in my opinion. So that's what we're looking forward to in the West play-in. And on the other side in the play-in, we know the Sixers beat the Heat last night. We do know Jimmy Butler ended up hurt. Out the game. I think he hurt his knee earlier in the game, kind of played through it and then couldn't go anymore. We now know that Jimmy Butler has an MCL sprain and will be out several weeks, marking it probably the end of the Miami Heat season. Now, I say that not saying that they can't necessarily win their next play-in game, but more so, even if they do, they face the Boston Celtics, and we'll get into that. Because I got something to say about that y'all probably going to get mad at. So let's say that for a little bit. But Joel Embiid last night made every play down the stretch, defensively and offensively. Offensive rebound, put back and one. Dropped to Kelly Oubre and one. Two big threes down the stretch, walking into him, taking the lead. Joel, who had not had a great game, actually had a pretty tough game, so much so that on the broadcast, they kept just talking about how hurt he was. Like, number one, let's stop doing that. He's out there, he's playing, like, we get it. Coming back from an injury is definitely tough. You need that ramp up. But, like, Joel is great. And he showed that down the stretch, regardless of how I may feel, regardless of what the circumstances are, I'm going to make every play down the stretch that my team need because, as Paul Reed said, We ain't ducking nobody. But we wanted the New York Knicks. We think that's the easier. We think that that's an easier team to beat. Paul Reed said it. I ain't say it. But the reality is, we know the reality. The New York Knicks are way easier to beat than the Boston Celtics. In fact, I got the Philadelphia 76ers beating the New York Knicks because who gonna stop Joel? And like Joel took over every play down the stretch versus the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, in which we know probably will beat the Knicks too. But that's neither here nor there. Philadelphia 76ers and will now take on the New York Knicks. And I got Philly for sure. Nobody's stopping Joel. Maxey and Jalen Brunson going to cancel each other out. Like, they both going to have great seasons. I mean, great series. But they're going to cancel each other out. And New York is not. Not only do they not have Joel Embiid, but they're also missing Julius Randle. And, you know, you can win regular season games missing Julius Randle. That's all fine and dandy. When you plan every other night, scouting reports aren't that great. Guys getting off, getting to their strong hands because scouting reports ain't that great. And you're kind of just going game to game. This is a playoff series now. And you are missing an all-star. And that will now show, because guys that may have been getting off, it's going to be a lot harder for them to get off when the scouting report is, I'm playing you for 7 games and we taking these things away. And so for me personally, that's why I got the Philadelphia 76ers winning easily. I mean, not easily, but I thought it was very interesting that Paul Reed came out and say that, because it's exactly what everybody thought. They did not want to see Boston in the first round. They don't want to see Boston in the second round. They want to meet with Boston in the conference finals and then swing for the fences if that's possible. So they avoided that, and now you got the Bulls and you got the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler. If there's any team that can go beat somebody without their star player, it is the Miami Heat. That is for sure. They always got guys that's just going to get off, play hard, well-coached, scouting report going to be great, and do all of those things. So the Miami Heat can compete. You know, we know they sometimes take this for motivation, so I'm going to say it here and say it here first. I got the Chicago Bulls because DeMar DeRozan is going to make every play that he needs to make to win the game. DeMar will walk the ball up the court and get every shot they want, every shot that he wants them to get in this game. Remember, it's one game. It's not a series. He's going to walk the ball up, get every shot. Kobe White was incredible last night. 42 points, 6-7 assists, something like that, 5-6 rebounds. Kobe White was incredible. I don't see that changing. Yes, the defense will be tougher. I do think that. The defense will definitely be tougher versus the Miami Heat for Kobe White than it was. And the rim protection will be much different than it was for Kobe White yesterday. The rim protection, like Bam Adebayo, is elite rim protection. So I don't see Kobe getting to the cup like he did last night as often, as frequently. But Kobe also didn't shoot the three well last night. And we know he's capable of doing that. So that could be activated as well. But I got the Bulls taking this. You need your stars. You need your top dogs to play well in these moments. And I think it's going to be tough without Jimmy. They really need Jimmy out there. The X factor, watch out for Jaime Jaquez. Every time Jimmy Butler did not play this year, Jaime went off. So watch out for him. It's a different stage right now. Win or go home. He's used to that NCAA tournament field, though. That's my X factor for the game. If Jaime can get off, he can get him a chance. But I got the Bulls. And then I holler at my dog, DeMario. Come on over here with me in about a week when he get a hold of them Celtics. But what I was going to say that I know nobody wants to hear, the Celtics just dodged a bullet with Jimmy getting hurt. Because if Jimmy don't get hurt, they beat the Chicago Bulls, no problem. And the Miami Heat has been a problem for the Boston Celtics. So Jackson got this huge smile on his face right now because he know, yeah, the Celtics are good. Yeah, they got a really good team and arguably the best team, best chance to win a championship. I agree with all of that. But all I'm saying is with Jimmy Butler, the Celtics has had a tough time. And no one wants to see anybody get hurt. That's never, I mean, I don't know about Boston fans. They different. But you can shake your head, Jackson, but you ain't grow up in Boston, Massachusetts. Them Boston fans in Boston, they are different. And I don't know what they think. I'm not just going to throw something out there on them. Maybe I will because who cares? But Jimmy Butler getting hurt, That was sent from heaven. Y'all make sure y'all take that. Receive the blessing. Because that was a godsend for the Boston Celtics. The last thing Boston wanted to do was win 60-plus games and meet Jimmy Butler in the Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs. Number one, the heart attack they would have had just by that happening. Like, that'll tense you up a little bit. Like, that, we got them again? That's too much like right. So, Boston, y'all take that gift that was sent from heaven above. Y'all make sure y'all take advantage of that because, man, I would have loved to see that series. It's unfortunate. But, however, I am wishing Jimmy well. MCLs could be tough. Hope it's just that. He can get back sooner rather than later, regardless of this season. You live that every day. So wishing Jimmy well. That's a wrap from this episode of the Draymond Green Show. We got some playoff stuff coming y'all way. I got nothing else to do, so why not break these games down for y'all, let y'all help y'all gain a better understanding of what to watch for, what adjustments could possibly be made, should be made. This, that, and other from a champ, yours truly. Till next time, that's a wrap. Peace.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.